And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton on your FM dial and to the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. We just finished a very interesting interview with Dave Lindorf, and now we're speaking with Phil Taylor from Taylor Report, which you can find at taylor-report.com. Let's see if we've got him on the line. Phil, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you doing?
Oh, very good, and you're coming in loud and clear, and that's very good, because we've got some important issues to cover. We just talked about what happened with that incident in Pakistan, and again, something that's underreported. And when we talk about Libya now in the news, again, we're only getting certain viewpoints, certain coverage, certain perspectives, and you've been trying to look at this from all angles. So we appreciate your ability to be here. There's so much, and I know you've been able to speak with individuals about this as well as follow the media. Now, I guess the big story that's catching our attention here, especially, is the Canadian presence, Canada sending the Charlotte to.
Yes.
And that's.
Yes.
Part of a broader operation. So I guess it didn't take long for certain kinds of people to come out of the woodwork and start, you know, humanitarian intervention. The British, they're starting to bring out old ideas that we thought were kind of discredited. What are they? We've got the no-fly zone.
Yes. It's appalling, actually. It's like, you know, the lions getting ready to carve up the carcass, and the jackal decides to float out from Canada to join in. Once the lions have decided what they want to do, it's contemptible, and we're looking at the world upside down. The Arab League, they live in the neighborhood, and the Organization of Islamic Countries have said, and apparently it's unanimous, they don't want this kind of intervention. Warships, by the way, I mean, the warships have been sitting there. I mean, the U.S. and Britain started putting warships a week or so ago, and it's all wrong. It's colonialist, and I'm very struck by the number of people who seem to fall into this trap. They all think they don't like colonialism, but they seem to love neocolonialism. The idea that the U.S. to bomb the bejesus out of Iraq and is bombing Afghanistan and firing missiles over into Pakistan with horrible results. They're the people you want to turn to when you're in a, when you need humanitarian intervention.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is just madness. And it's really time for everybody to grow up on this. It's one thing to take a side, if you feel like it, on Libya and want support, but this is not a solution. This is the making of a much worse problem.
Well, you talk about...
And it's way far ahead, by the way. You know, you could have a theory that military drives politics. That is... This decision about the warships, nobody was discussing. They just showed up off the coast. And then we learned from the British press, and by the way, the British press, once again, they just love the idea they're still an empire, beating their breast about how they've already been flying missions without authorization into southern Libya to pluck poor Britons off the, you know, out of the... Well, actually... Libya has not objected to states coming to get their nationals. The Libyan authorities, whether you like them or not, they haven't. That hasn't been an issue. So to pretend you're you need to wear a mask over your face and jump out of a helicopter, that's all just silliness. And it seems to be part of the general recruiting idea. Let us go back to the time of the Boer War. Canada is never actually independent. It's always there, yes, sir, saluting. When the great power wants to do something, we'll be standing at their side. And every mission is always a rescue mission. Complete bunk. It's always rescue. The idea that, you know, humanitarian intervention is a new concept. It's just the latest buzzword to describe the oldest process of intervention in the internal affairs of other peoples. By saying, oh, we have to go rescue a nun. Oh, we understand a hospital is being attacked. And so we will go in. Complete baloney, and we should be fighting it everywhere. Everybody, I understand there's going to be demonstrations coming up in various cities to support the so-called popular movement in Libya. Well, they better put on their agenda what they think about colonial intervention, because that's what they're about to get. I would think between now... And probably a week from now, there's going to be aerial assaults on key targets, probably the Libyan Air Force, to the extent that it exists, and followed by whatever else. But there's going to be activity. There is activity by the British. They tell us their SAS and other operations. But that is going to happen. And when they say they're going to put, and you and I think we talked about this last week, that they're going to put a no-fly zone, that means that everything under that no-fly zone belongs to those who are controlling the sky.
And the other thing about that is, how do you get rid of it, too? Once you have a no-fly zone, even the military officers, the NATO officers that were consulted said a no-fly zone would be a definite military operation. It would require suppression.
Well, you're capturing the sovereignty of an entire country. It means that you're the boss over that. What anything that moves there.
Yes.
So their Navy, their Army, whoever it is, must obey you. And this is just naked imperialism, and we ought to make up our minds. Do we believe in that in Canada? Do the American people believe in it? Because it is a violent process, and it does not end. And it means the concept of sovereignty, which Canada likes its own sovereignty, and right to self-determination of people, have all been thrown out the window in the name of this blanket term, humanitarian intervention, which, by the way, Canada would never stand for. If somebody wanted to come, some state wanted to come pick up its nationals without permission, if we were having a little bit of a problem, and historically Canada's had a few problems, both with foreign invaders and with civil wars, we would immediately say, no, you can't fly in here, you cannot do, you have to ask.
We've been advocating intervention based on the idea of humanitarianism in the same way we have in the past. So now there's been a lot of language used, like the word genocide, in terms of what's happening in Libya.
Which is another ticket word to permit intervention.
And that's what it is. It's about permitting intervention, because I saw an Al Jazeera interview with a U.S. policymaker, policy experts, and they were asking him, well, would it be legal to intervene in Libya according to international law and the United Nations? And he said, well, you know, it's yes and no. He had a sort of equivocal answer. And, of course, the reason for that is it's not really legal to intervene in someone's affairs in that manner. So you have to start talking about humanitarianism, and especially if you can.
Or genocide. Yes, you're right. I mean, it's really like someone says, they can't, there's no basis, and then they say, well, yes, they can. They just, as George Bush explained, why did he torture people? He said his lawyers told him he could do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they hire people who give them excuses to do things.
Once they started talking about genocide, that's when they started talking about African mercenaries coming in, too.
I'm really glad to flag that subject, because I don't think that this is being addressed directly enough. I will applaud Monthly Review, U.S. Socialist magazine, and people can find it. Just go to Monthly Review on the net. But otherwise, it has not been remarked properly. The moment someone says that there are African black mercenaries, they should be challenged to prove that, because the consequence of such an allegation is that black Africans, of whom there are many, and they are extremely poor, and they are hardworking people in Libya and the rest of the Middle East, they're all endangered by such a claim. And the Globe and Mail and others have all said sub-Saharan, which is just another way to say black, mercenaries. None of these big journals, like the New York Times and even CBC, none of them substantiated that. And one of the most noticeable things is that no one has asked any African leader, leader of a country, like they say Chad or Niger, Kenya, or any other place where allegedly these Africans are coming from. There's no comment. It's as though they don't exist. We don't have any use for them and their opinion. We don't have any, of course, African reporters. And it is one white person after another repeating an allegation which comes from, they say, the headquarters of the Benghazi group. And Lord only knows who they are. They have pictures of the old king on the wall, I noticed, and they're flags of the old king. But they're revolutionaries, we're told.
Well, Phil,
anyhow, the ones making the claim. They say, one of the first reasons, why do we want a no-fly zone? They say because they don't want black Africans being flown in who are fighting for Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. Well, why doesn't a reporter say, so far as we know, there is no evidence of that?
Well,
instead, they repeat it. And then when you see footage on various sites, and I know the Russian television has carried footage, I've seen it, of Africans being kicked and pummeled in the streets, and British journalists say they have seen black Africans hanging from meat hooks, pictures of them, in Benghazi, you know, that's when we have to challenge everybody here to either produce evidence or start negating that story, because there's no evidence of it.
Yes, this is a consequence, this violence against Africans in Libya, a consequence of the unsubstantiated reporting. You and I both saw on Al Jazeera, they were interviewing people, I think one of them was a member of Human Rights Watch, who gave a sort of two-sided position. So he said on the one hand, well, we have no visible confirmation of African mercenaries, but we have credible rumors that...
And meanwhile, he had seen, he said, five workers from Chad who he had a chance to talk to, who he said, they're not mercenaries. But why are they in prison? Because they're accused of being mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Al Jazeera is doing that. Al Jazeera seems to be trying to cover themselves now by pointing out, yes, there seems to be a lot of racism. Well, they should know. They've been reporting this story.
That's right. I believe we both saw it live. I think it was on Friday.
Yeah. It is outrageous. I would say, you know, minimal. Why don't you interview... I'd say this to all these journalists who, the New York Times today, why don't you interview somebody in Chad about this? Are there flights going in and out? They have to do that, but, you know, you have to assume that they are already so inclined to disbelieve anything an African says. It's like, well, we couldn't interview them. The racism is not only in Benghazi. It's in the offices of the major news outlets of the Western world.
Yes, it's palpable. There's, you know, not just a no-fly zone that's being discussed, but there's already actions that have been undertaken, as you suggested. So there's sanctions now against Libya. There's the freezing of assets, ending of peace treaties. Italy, I believe, canceled a non-aggression.
Everybody's tearing up agreements and removing them. I mean, you know, it is a sovereign state. Why don't you just let the people work it out? And everybody outside, quit trying to jimmy the results. Just leave them be. And, you know, Hugo Chavez has made the only sensible suggestion I've seen from a world leader. He says, well, let's find somebody who's credible to all the parties to see if they can negotiate an end to this. But the way the media here plays it is the only end of it has to be total giving up on the side of the Gaddafi party, which now at this point becomes clear has some support, just as their opponents have some support. So that's when you need to parley. But if you throw all your hardware in behind one side, that means you think you already know everything about the country, which means that they don't need a country themselves. They need you to tell them.
Well, some world leaders in Britain and Canada, they've called for the international community to be more involved in this. And by international community, they seem to mean the usual suspects that we saw in
Haiti. Well, they mean Washington. And how incredible is this? By the way, they're talking about International Criminal Tribunal for Gaddafi. And they said, and I'm watching a white guy from Australia, followed by a white woman from the United States, followed by a white woman from England. And they all say, well, we have to show Gaddafi that the long arm of the international law can reach him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one, and it's interesting because according to the United States, the long arm of international law does not apply to them.
What else can you say? But this has been going on for 2 or 3 weeks, and already they're talking about International War Crimes Tribunal putting Gaddafi into that same place so many African leaders have disappeared into. And meanwhile, I just finished an interview about U.S. covert operations in Pakistan, illegal killings. We know about the drone attacks in Pakistan. We know about the war in Iraq that has killed up to 1 million people so far, caused 3 million refugees, and plus the sanctions, which killed another million and a half people. That's just Iraq. Then you have what's going on in Afghanistan. No one is standing trial. Bush is not in a prison. Obama is continuing these activities. So we're allowed to continue activities that are known to be mass murder activities. But,
and missiles are fired into Pakistan. And when Obama was running for president, he said he would do it. Now he's president. He's doing it. Mm-hmm. And he was, and during the presidential debates, the guy arguing with him said, you know, that is, you can't do that. That's a violation of international law. But Obama said he would. And yet he kept his word. But yes, we should not allow people to talk about an international tribunal without saying anybody who's not party to it, and that would be the U.S., Russia, and China, for example, can have no say in it whatsoever. How could they possibly? I mean, either the law applies to everybody equally, or you can't apply it. You can't do it selectively. That isn't law. That's the jungle, as they call it.
Seems that we're taking the actions that we want to take already. I know there's been reporting that people are landing humanitarian or what are called humanitarian workers as well as reconnaissance teams is what they're being called, robust reconnaissance teams, whatever that means, in Libya.
You can tell they're just aching to shoot somebody, and it's going to be a mess. And that's really where we have to focus our attention. Incidentally, you know, it is being mentioned, ought to be repeated, the Russian military, which is watching these events, says that they have, there's no evidence of Libyan planes bombing in the areas where they were reported to have been bombing. Because they have satellites, they are watching, and they say there's no evidence of that.
We haven't seen footage commensurate with some of the claims that are being made. I think everyone needs to take a step back and ask if we're getting all the information in it.
We're not getting any. I mean, I just read it in the New York Times, and it just may as well be a postcard from a cousin. He said, I was told, so-and-so was told, somebody claims. You know, today there's a claim that just floating out there, 6,000 dead, and then they report a battle in which they said 10 were killed. So you had a battle and 10 people were killed, and yet you're saying total of 6,000 are dead. Where did that happen?
And, you know, just to see what they're focusing on, you know, you can learn about what they're not focusing on. So in Bahrain, there's continuing repression. We're not hearing about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stories that are not being reported. Hillary wants to have an issue with Iran, so she's just waiting for something to happen so she can get noisy about that. I saw her a week ago saying, my heart goes out to the Iranians. Of course, her missiles go out to Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people notice.
Well, it feels like we're looking at Libya through a cardboard tube or something. We can see a narrow spot that they've highlighted, and that's it. And meanwhile, all the ships are moving closer to Libya. The curtain is tightening there.
If loss of life were the criteria, then what about Somalia? What about Congo, where you really, and Nigeria's had tremendous loss of life? But no, this is the one where they want to send the SAS and the Marine Corps and everybody else.
It's amazing how fast it was decided that.
And there's no connection with democracy. The people of Palestine in Gaza, they voted for Hamas, and the U.S. says, no, you can't have that. The people of Lebanon who voted for Hezbollah, no, we don't recognize that. And in 1991, the people voted for an Islamic government in Algeria, and 300,000 people lost their lives because the army there, with the support of Paris, London, and Washington, said, no, you can't have an Islamic government. So the army attacked the people, and with those results. So democracy's got nothing to do with this.
It's interesting how a state that has continually supported dictators and does so today, and that is the United States, is making such a big deal about the situation in Libya now. Everything was decided upon very quickly by the United States in terms of how it would react, how things would be portrayed, and so on.